The passage of scripture I'm looking at is Psalm 91. I am convinced that Psalm 91, especially now, is one of the most popular psalm. Other than Psalm 23, I think Psalm 91 is the psalm that we can reference a great deal, because it says a lot to us. And I want to revisit it with you today. The Word of God says here that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word dwelleth is a Hebrew word yashab. And it means exactly that. It means that he that tarries, you can translate it that way, he that tarries in the secret place, he that remains, he that settles, he that inhabits the secret place, he that continues in the secret place. And all of those are valid words that word yashab can be translated in. But strangely enough, the word yashab also can be translated as marry. And it was that particular aspect of that word that the Lord brought us to as he began to unveil this particular passage of scripture. And I want to explore that with you this morning. The aspect of marrying, he that is married. And when you get married, you plan to stay. You plan to change your place of habitation or whatever. When you marry, you're settling. You're settling and you're no longer, floundering all over the place, your eyes looking everywhere. You're married. You're settled in your mind, in your relationship, in making a commitment. There's a commitment here. He that dwelleth, he that is committed. And the Word of God is telling us something very interesting here, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High gets to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But what is this place, he that dwelleth? Is this a place for everybody? Because there's a secret place, it says here, in the secret place. Now, when we think about marriage, and we reference it with the word secret, a place of covering. The word is the word sitar. We begin to recognize that something is happening here that God wants to point our eyes to. There is the aspect of dwelling in that secret place. But not everybody gets to dwell in the secret place. For example, let me put it this way. If you were to be married, you know that the marriage is not only between, or the marriage ceremony is not just, it's just something just between the two people that are going to be connected and becoming one, but that there are guests that are there, and those guests are participants in the marriage ceremony, but they are not the ones that are married. And then you have the marriage party, where you have the ladies that stand with the woman and the guys that stand with the man, but they are not the couple. Then there is the best man and the best woman, if you may put it that way, or maid of honor. But they are not the couple. They are only able to come some distance. And that distance is going to end not just in the ceremony itself, where the engagement or the connection between the couple is being made, and in the party that follows after. There is a place where all of these other people cannot get to, even though they were invited to that wedding. There is a special place. Now, let's call that place the hotel, the honeymoon suite. The honeymoon suite is there, and there is possibly a maid or whoever it is that cleaned the place, made sure that the place is all set up properly. Whatever it is that bride or the groom wanted to place there secretly is put there secretly. But that maid doesn't get to dwell there. They are only able to visit it, but this is a relationship between that man and that woman. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place where they consummate their relationship and legalize it. Make it legal. If the relationship is not consummated, even though they said, I do, they are not really married yet. And God is saying to us that He wants to take us to a secret place. Because this secret place is not just secret. It is secret to you, the bride. This is a place that God and God alone knows. That's why it's secret. And that's why it is holy. That's why it is sacred. This is a special place, wherever that place is. This is a place where the bride and the bridegroom become bare to each other. They are transfigured and changed before each other. This secret place is a place that God wants to take you and take me to. This place of intimacy. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 13, it says, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. And then it says, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away to where? To a very special place, to a secret place. It says, oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock. Do you remember Moses? Moses is kept at the cleft of the rock as God reveals his glory, reveals who he is. God is bringing us to a place of the manifestation of who he is, the manifestation of his glory. It is in this secret place that God wants to take you and take me to. And it is in this place that you and I are going to experience the protection, the provision, the power of God. Oh, my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places. In the secret places. In the secret places of what? In the secret places of the stairs. What are these stairs? These are the stairs of elevation. This is a place that God wants to take you and I to so that he can elevate us by his grace and by his mercy into higher levels, into higher dimensions by the authority of his power, of his word. He says, let me see thy countenance. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see who you are. I want to see you. It's not just you seeing God. God says, I want to see you. I want to see you. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. This is a perfect place. God is calling you and I to come closer in our relationship. God wants to take you and I, even now, in this time of the establishment of his covenant, he wants to take you closer. And I want you to know, child of God, that we must not be distracted by the circumstances of this world, by the financial collapse that's taking place around many today. God wants you to, at this time, focus on getting to know him, seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness so that every other thing can be added to us. This is a special place. Everybody's invited. There's so many that are guests. There are some that are even part of the wedding party. But one is going to be the one that is going to go into that secret place and gets to stay. Others may have prepared it, prepared the bedroom and all of that, but one gets to stay. Is that going to be you? Is that going to be me? Is that going to be us as one unit? Because the people that God comes to and he's going to marry himself to are the people that are not going to allow strife to come into that realm. You see, there's something different about a dove. A dove abhors strife, unlike a pigeon that can stay around chaos. A dove, as soon as there is confusion, takes off. It leaves. What's going to happen with you and I in our relationship? The next verse says something very interesting. Take us the foxes. The little foxes have spoiled the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. What is God saying? He's saying, if you're going to come to this secret place, you got to take care of those deceptive animals, those foxes. You know, we have this adage, crazy like a fox. You know, got to get rid of that craziness. That craziness that creates turbulence all around you. It says, because the vines are tender grapes. You've got to take care of this very carefully, very tenderly. How do you and I take care of our relationship with God? Is of importance to us. Listen to the 16th verse. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. He feedeth among the lilies. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. I am totally sold out to him, and he's totally sold out to me, and he feedeth among the lilies. What is that referencing? It's a reminder of God providing. For he said, look at the lilies. in the field. Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. And God is saying, I am your provider. I am your source. You cannot serve two masters. You're going to either love one and despise the other, because you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve the master of worry and fear and serve the master of peace and glory. He that dwelleth in the secret place is that one that has been brought in to this inner chamber of the presence of God. And in this inner chamber of the presence of God, God wants to reveal himself. God wants to show himself great, so that you can come to the place where you begin to magnify him, because you've drawn near. May I say to us that this secret place is a place that you cannot get to by yourself. It's a place that God has to take you to. Because if it is known to you, then it will be known to the devil. And the devil can access it any which way. People sometimes will tell where they're going to have their honeymoon and whatever else. But I doubt that anybody that is going on their honeymoon tells somebody the room number and gives somebody else the keys to that number. No, it's secret. It's a private place. And God wants to take you to this place that is private, because in this place, he commits to you that you will, without a doubt, be protected. He will protect his church. He will make sure that this church, his body, is blemish-free, spot-free, wrinkle-free. This is the doing of the Lord. And I believe that God wants to take you and I to a deeper experience in him, even now. That what you and I used to know, it's going to be different. You know, once upon a time, you were part of the guest. Once upon a time, you were part of the wedding party. Once upon a time, you were like the best man or the maid of honor. But this time, God wants to make you the bride. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you in which he reveals himself to you like never before. In 1981, January the 3rd, Mom and I got married. And from that day, everybody else was outside. There is only one person that has truly my heart, and that's the one that God made one with me. And I want to say that the people that truly have the heart of God are those that he takes into the secret place. They don't hear the general news. They hear the secret message. I know that you and I want to be part of that inner circle. And if we're going to be that, then we must divorce ourselves from every other and have him as the center of it all. Take me past the crowd. Take me past all of those and bring me into the innermost place. Do you recognize that there was only one person that was allowed into that Holy of Holies in the Old Testament? That was a high priest. He went past the outer court, went through the holy place. Others were able to come through the outer courts. Others were able to come even to the holy place, a limited amount of people to the holy place. But there was one person that was allowed behind those curtains. And it's behind those curtains that he saw what nobody else saw. And it is when his relationship in the Holy of Holies was received that he could come and atone for everybody else. God wants to take you and I to a new place in him. Hallelujah. This place of intimacy. Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. It says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I dealt judgment on the Egyptians, and I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." God is still doing the same thing today. Separating you from the afflictions and the persecution and the harassment of the world. And bringing you closer. And he calls it on eagle's wings. Wow. On eagle's wings. When we read the Old Testament account, we don't see any eagles carrying them. But God describes it that he did it on eagle's wings. What's that? The eagle's wings is the glory of God coming upon these chosen ones, hedging them and protecting them, segregating them from the pursuit of the enemy. And God is saying the same thing to you and I today, that he wants to separate you from the confusion of the world. Say, how is it possible? How is it possible? Well, it is possible because God wants to establish his covenant. It is possible because God wants you to know that you belong to him, and that he's taking care of you. Will you let him today? How do we do that? By believing him completely. And it starts at the place of the shedding of blood. The place of shedding of blood is the place of the consummation. And from that point on, you must see yourself as married to him. Shab. Now you are married to him. Now you are covered by him in the secret place. And let's go back to Psalm 91. Because the secret place is not just a place of covering, a place that is disguised so that you cannot interpret what's there. It's not just a hiding place. But interestingly enough, that word, sitar, is a word that can also be translated in a negative way as slanderous and a place of backbiting. What is the common thing about slandering and backbiting? It is a talk that is said in the secret place. But on the flip side of it, on the flip side of this word is this, that this is a place where the secret talk is spoken. How can I put it? This is the bed talk. Or like Songs of Solomon puts it. Let me flip back there for a quick moment. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. See what he says here in the 14th verse. He says, "Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Your voice begins to change your countenance. The sweeter your words, the more handsome or pretty you become. Slanderous, backbiting words generate ugliness. Sweet words attract. Sweet words attract. And God is saying to us in the passage that the secret place is a place of the secret, sacred talk. This is a place where God reveals things to you. This is where God unveils himself to you. This is a place where the God talk brings you into a dimension of you experiencing the glory of God manifested. God has this place, you know. We need to desire this place. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, "He ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach." So, Pastor, why are you coming to this passage of Scripture? Well, because prior to these verses, he is calling them from the midst of many. There were others there that were disciples. But he calls these 12 up to make them apostles. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that God calls people from the midst of people. How else can I put it to you? If all the church, so-called church, is the bride of Christ, who are the guests? And who are the virgins? I must tell you that God picks from the mist who it is that he engages fully with. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 37, we see Jesus just about to go to the cross. And then it says to us, it says, then cometh Jesus with them, meaning his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And listen to the next. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. Huh? Were they not disciples? Yes, of course they were disciples. But he separates disciples from disciples. And began to be sorrowful and very heavy. In other words, he showed to these three an aspect that he did not show to the rest. Is that something that God wants to reveal that I need to be aware of? In John, or rather Mark chapter 9, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 3. Here I'm still talking about the fact that, yes, we are all, but God wants to take certain people beyond general information. He says, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, we shall not taste of death. There are some that are standing here. We shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. What? Okay. Let's go to verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. The other disciples did not see it. Peter, James, and John saw him in a way that others did not see him. That explains why many times there are people who do not have an understanding of deeper levels of things that God is saying. It does not come to their natural mind because the things of God are spiritually discerned. And I want to become more spirit-focused so I can see what God is showing. What about you? He was transfigured before them. He revealed who he was to them. He had been with them all these years, and they had not seen this part of him. They had not experienced this part of him, what he was doing at this particular moment. They had not known it. But God wants to reveal himself at deeper levels to you and I. So, Pastor, all of this you are seeing from Psalm 91. Not me. He is showing me. He's showing me something that I had not known before. He's unveiling his word into my spirit. In Psalm 25, And verse 14, we read these powerful words. It says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, those that reverence him, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them his covenant. You know, he reveals his covenant to those that reverence him. And in Amos 3:7, the word of God is very explicit. It says directly to every one of us, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying there is a deeper level that God wants to take his people to, if we're willing to focus our attention on him, if we're willing to shun strife, bitterness, confusion, if we're willing to shun those things, that there's a place God wants to take us to, and God wants to reveal his secrets to us. It is important. You see, this secret place is a secret place of the manifestation of the presence of God. In Psalm 27 and verse 5, let me go through this real quickly. My time is going. It says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, what is that all about? God hiding us in the time of trouble in the secret of his tabernacle, and at the same time says, he shall set you and I up upon a rock. Now, the secret place is a place of intimacy, but the place that God sets you up is he boldly walking with you and making you, affirming you, so that everybody knows that you are hooked up with him. That is hiding you in plain view. He's overshadowing, he's covering you, he's helping you become all that you're called to be. Now, Psalm 31 and verse 20 tells us something. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. In the secret of thy presence. What was the presence of God? The presence of God was the glory of God. God says, I will hide you in the secret of my presence from the pride of man. The pride of man is man trying to muscle up and, you know, try to prove that he is in charge, as it is in our world today. Man is trying to prove, I'm in charge. I can do whatever it is I want to do. I want to control the world. I want to this. I want to that. And God says, I'm going to hide you from the pride of man. He says, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. There's a strife of tongues. Words being splattered all over the place. God says, I'm going to hide you in my secret place, in the place of intimacy with me. You see, in this place, you can be like the Lord Jesus Christ, that he wanted to push off the cliff, and he just turned around and walked right through them and went home. This is a place of supernatural existence. This is a place where Peter and the disciples are put inside a prison, and the angel of the Lord comes, and they walk out of prison, and they, in obedience, continue to preach the word of this life. They thought they had them. but they didn't. And God is going to manifest himself in a glorious way in this last of the last days in his people, because he is engaging with us as we engage with him. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. How do we draw near to God? By magnifying him in our worship, in our adoration, seeking his face, and declaring his praise in all the earth. In Psalm 61 and verse 11, we read, Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. You show me the path of life. It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In your presence, as God reveals himself to us, there is fullness of joy. It says, at the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There are pleasures in God forevermore. You know, God has his way of protecting us. Do you know that? It reminded me a few days ago of an experience I had, maybe about a year or two ago. Somebody was speaking negative words towards me. And all of a sudden, I started laughing. I wasn't laughing at them. It was a joy that came from within. I couldn't stop it. And the words were coming and coming and coming and coming, and I was just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I'm wondering, what is this laughter about? And the person was getting more upset because I'm laughing. I said, Lord, what was that about? And he said to me, he says, I was protecting you. You see, because the joy of God quenches all of that nonsense. God wants to flood your life with pleasures, flood your life with the fullness of joy as he hides you from the strife of tongues. He says, I will show thee the path of life. Because you are not aware of it. God said, I'm going to show you. Let's go back to Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Wow. Of the Almighty. What is this? Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. This is a place of consummation. This is the place where God seeds you with the supernatural. This is a place where God causes you to be pregnant with the supernatural vision, the supernatural expression of his word, the words that he's been speaking over your life. And child of God, we become the apple of God's eyes in this place, the place of overshadowing. In Luke 1 and verse 35, Luke 1 and verse 35, it says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Holy Spirit. It's going to come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, shall abide under the shadow, the overshadowing of the Almighty. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, we shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. But who is this Son of God? The Son of God is the Word of God. Who is the Son of God? The Son of God is the Deliverer, is the Redeemer, is the Savior, is the Healer, is the Provider, is the miracle-working God. God wants to overshadow you so that you and I can become the manifestation of His authority in the earth. God wants to do a new thing, child of God. Because as He overshadows you and I, He births in you and I His authority, His power. God wants to do a new thing. May you and I embrace this newness that God wants to infuse into our spirit man. For the people that know their God will be great, and they will do great exploits. The people that know their God. And God wants you to come to a place of knowing, where we know Him. You know the amazing thing about this knowing of God and doing exploits. Is that God takes us into the inner places in Him that reveals everything around us. It's like having night vision. You know, when the military go out to war, they have night vision, and so they can see in the dark. The people that know God do exploits. Watch this scripture and reflect on it. He says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, that's the covenant of God, shall He corrupt by flatteries. What is this? These are the people who are doing wicked things and going against the covenant of God. And the Bible says that the enemy will flatter them to think that they are succeeding. And so the flattery is going on in the world today. And those that are practicing wickedness think they are getting away with it. Oh, but not so. For the Word of God says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Oh, that's powerful. That is incredibly powerful. They are strengthened by God and they do exploits. Oh, the enemy might get some, but he will not be able to get those that know their God. And I want to know Him. And you and I should hunger to know Him and come into this inner circle. The shadow, the saleh of the Lord. It is about the defense of God, the shadow of the Almighty. It's about God's defense. Just like a husband will defend the wife. It's a place of protection. It's a place where you hover jealously. And God says of Himself, I am a jealous God. God is jealous over you. God is jealous over me. If we will come to this place of intimacy, He'll be jealous over you. He'll watch over you. You know, in Psalm 17 and verse 8, talking about the shadow, he says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. He said, I brought you on eagle's wings. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. In Psalm 36 and verse 7, Psalm 36 and verse 7, the word of God says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Because God, your name is an excellent name. And your loving kindness, which is the expression of God's mercy, is powerful. In Psalm 57 and verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee. My soul trusted in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Notice that God is protecting in the midst of calamities. And that's in the secret place, in plain view. Let me go further. You see, because in this secret place, God is doing much more. In Isaiah 49 and verse 2, he describes this in another way. He says, and he had made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand had he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver had he hid me. A great man has this quiver full. But what is this quiver? It is where he places his arrows. Watch this. God, in the secret place, makes you a powerful weapon. Wow. Wow. Isaiah 51 and verse 16. Isaiah 51 and verse 16. It says, and I've put my words in thy mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. Where is this happening? In that secret place. God is speaking into your spirit. Great words. He says, and I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. That I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, that's all of God's people, thou art my people. You are my people. Wow. Now, let me wrap this up for now. Psalm 91 is about God's protection and God's deliverance. It is clear. That is for him. I will serve the Lord. That is a very general term. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. That takes place in the place of intimacy. You've come to that place where he's not just God. He's your God, my God. He's not just a refuge. He is my refuge. He's not just a fortress. He is my fortress. And therefore, I place my trust in him. Why? He's taken me into a secret place where he's revealed his treasury to me. He has brought me into a secret place where I have come to know him. And in this place, I have no reason to leave. I'm going to abide here. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stick with this. Hallelujah. But while this passage is a passage of deliverance, and verse 3 will tell us that, he says in verse, surely he shall deliver thee. The word is natsal, deliver. But what does this word natsal mean? It means to snatch. To snatch away, to pluck out. And God is saying to us, listen, in this place of intimacy, I am going to be the God who snatches you out, plucks you out of the snare of the fowler, the entrapments of the enemy. When they think they've got you caught, they've got you cornered, God says, I'm going to snatch you. To snatch something is to move something forcefully. And I want you to know that some of you are going to experience this snatching experience. It's a very forceful experience where you don't understand. I thought everything was okay. Why did God just move me just like that? God just snatched you out. Celebrate. It's a snatching away. But the Bible tells us in verse 14, he says, he shall, because he had set his love upon me. Because this one has set his love been, have come into a place, desire to become intimate with me. He says, because you've done that, therefore will I deliver him. I will palath him. That means to slip away. It's a different word. Different from snatching away. This is the act of slipping away. That's interesting. Because the first one is, I'm going to snatch you. The second one is, I'm going to slip you away. I'll cause you to escape. I will set him on high. Those are those stairs in the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. It says, I will set him on high. That's the setting up of the Psalms, where I'll set him upon a rock. I'll set him on high because he had known my name. He had known my name. I've revealed my name to him. I've revealed something about me to him. Do you understand that God has so many names? And again, he reveals a particular aspect of himself. And today he wants to reveal himself to you as Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present. Right here, right now. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who makes known. He wants to be Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He wants to reveal that to you today. And verse 15 says, watch this, he shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. This is a different level now. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, the word here for deliver is the word kalath. Same passage, same 91, Psalm 91. Verse 3 gives us natsal. Verse 14 gives us palath. Verse 15 says kalath. But what is this last one? This is where God says, there's trouble, but this time I am going to strengthen you. I am going to arm you. I'm going to equip you. This is where you become trouble to your trouble. He says, I will deliver him. But this deliverance is a deliverance of equipping you. You know him. He snatched you in the place of your ignorance. He slid you through and caused you to escape in the place of you taking off, come away with me, and now he's armed you. Because now you know him, you know his authority, you know his power, you know his power, his presence, you know his glory, you know him, and now it's time for you to do great exploits. And I believe that God is taking you and I to that deeper level in which not only is he snatching us away or causing us to slide away in escape, but now boldly coming and saying, you want a piece of me? Come on. Because you are fully armed. He says, my deliverance, my ultimate deliverance is in arming you. I raise you up. I teach you. I reveal my secrets to you. You know that you know that you know that you know that I'm here with you. Here's a God who teaches me, trains my fingers to war. God wants to take you and I to an extraordinary place in him. He wants to take you to a place where you don't have to be strange anymore.